I want you to think about a very specific kind of digital headache, the kind that's just exploded recently.
Yeah.
I'm talking about calendar spam.
Oh,
Not the stuff that gets filtered into your junk folder, but those invites that just appear straight on your schedule.
Claiming you have a Bitcoin transfer waiting or something.
Exactly. Fake security renewals, urgent meeting requests. It completely pollutes your day.
Yeah.
And for systems used by, what, billions of people, it feels like a huge security failure.
It is a huge failure. And that's what today's deep dive is all about, why it happened, and maybe more to the point, why security analysts are saying this was completely predictable.
Predictable.
Yeah. We've gone through a really sharp analyst report on this. It doesn't just cover the recent, you know, surge in this stuff, but argues that these exact design flaws should have been obvious 25 years ago.
25 years. Okay, so our mission here is to figure out how these massive tech platforms just ignored decades of basic cybersecurity wisdom. So let's unpack that. I mean, these are incredibly sophisticated companies. How did they miss something so fundamental? Let's start with what the analyst calls the original sin of calendar design.
Right. So the original sin was really about ambition. It was about integration. When calendars went from being, you know, simple desktop apps to these networked things, they tied them directly to email.
Which makes sense on the surface.
It does. The logic was simple. For convenience, for efficiency, an email invite should just automatically pop an event onto your calendar.
And efficiency is always the big driver, isn't it? Get it to market, make it seamless, remove any friction for the user.
Exactly. But in doing that, they ignored this fundamental, like, non-negotiable rule of security engineering.
Which is
anything that's automatically tied to email is automatically tied to the entire global spam industry. The report is pretty scathing on this point.
I can imagine.
It basically says, if you design a system that lets uninvited external inputs create actions, which is what a calendar invite is,
yeah,
it will be abused at massive scale.
Yeah. Okay, so if this was obvious to experts a quarter century ago, why did the designers do it anyway? Was it just negligence or was it a deliberate choice?
That's the billion-dollar question. And the analysis suggests it was a conscious trade-off.
A trade-off.
Yeah. In the race for market share and, you know, what they saw as user convenience, the security friction, the part that would verify every sender, was just seen as too costly or too slow.
So they chose seamless integration over basic defense.
They did. They decided the immediate convenience was worth this known long-term risk of abuse. And, well, now we're all paying that price.
And the price is that current spike. Let's talk about the specifics that prompted this report, because the analyst had a very personal, very recent story.
Yes. So just a few weeks ago, this is just before November 2025, the analyst said the spam invites just exploded. They were getting about 5 unwanted Google Calendar invites a day.
5 a day? That's not just an annoyance. That's like a denial of service attack on your time.
It is. You have to actively go in and delete all this garbage just to see your actual schedule.
And what kind of spam was it?
Oh, textbook stuff. You know, social engineering. Titles like Bitcoin Transfers or, my favorite, Renewal Success Deke Squad Approved.
High urgency things designed to make you click when you're just glancing at your schedule.
Precisely. They're designed to catch your eye in that split second you're looking for your next meeting.
Okay, let's get a little technical now, because this is where the core failure really lies.
Yeah.
If these are such obvious fakes, how are they getting past the main defenses?
This is the critical part. It's an authentication bypass.
Mm.
So the invitations were using the @gmail.com domain, right, to look legitimate.
Of course.
But the report notes they were completely missing the required DKIM or SPM authentication headers.
Okay, can you just quickly unpack those acronyms for us? DKIM and SPM.
Sure. Think of them like high-tech digital signatures. DKIM and SPM are cryptographic proof. They verify that an email that says it's from @gmail.com actually came from Google's real servers.
So it's like a digital watermark.
A very, very secure one. Accepting an invite without that proof is like taking a $100 bill that doesn't have the security strip in it. It's an obvious fake.
And the platform just accepted it anyway.
It did. The platform failed to stop obvious unauthenticated forgeries. But what made it so much worse was the next failure.
Which was?
It failed to respect the user's own explicit settings. The analyst had turned off automatic calendar additions years ago to prevent this exact thing.
Right.
But according to the report, new AI features came along and aggressively re-enabled them.
How does a supposedly smart AI feature override a direct user command like that? Did they just flip a switch on everyone?
It was even worse. It came down to just disastrous user experience design. These new features would pester the user with these intrusive prompts.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The analyst described these little setting prompts that would flash across the screen right when they were clicking something else.
Oh, so you accidentally click yes to something you didn't even have time to read?
Exactly. You enable the feature without even knowing what you just agreed to. It's a total failure of UX.
So the forgery gets in. That's failure one. But then the system betrays the user's own choices. That's a whole other level.
Precisely. And that whole sequence, the technical failure followed by, really, user betrayal, that leads us right to the analyst's main critique. The five specific stupid things the system needs to stop doing.
A checklist of bad security engineering.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, let's go through the list. Let's start with number one.
Stupidity element one is what they call forgery reception. It's simple. If Google knows an incoming request claiming to be from its own domain doesn't have its internal cryptographic proof, the DKIM and SPM, it has to be rejected instantly.
It shouldn't even get to the user.
It shouldn't get anywhere near the user's calendar. You just can't provide a service to obvious fakes. It's non-negotiable.
Okay, that seems like a no-brainer. What about number two? User autonomy.
Stupidity element two. Ignoring user settings. This goes right to the heart of trust. New features, especially AI stuff, they must respect existing settings.
Right.
If a user said no automatic additions 5 years ago, that no has to survive every single software update. Security settings are useless if they can just be overridden by the next shiny new feature.
And element three, I'm guessing that ties into that accidental click you were talking about.
Absolutely. Stupidity element three is dangerous UX human factors. This is about that practice of interrupting the user with these flashing, intrusive prompts.
You're bad design.
It's terrible design. The analyst points out it guarantees misclicks, it confuses people, and it injects errors into their workflow. The source even connects it to established research on controlling work disruption. It's actively harmful.
Let's play devil's advocate for a second. If they're pushing these AI features so aggressively, and this is element four, is the calculation just that most people want the AI?
Hmm.
And this kind of security concern is just noise from a few power users.
That brings us right to stupidity element four, forcing AI. And yes, the trade-off they're making is for data harvesting and for feature adoption rates. Security comes second.
So they're tricking people into saying yes.
Tricking them or just wearing them down.
Yeah.
The report talks about creating like 18 different constantly changing setting levels so you can never really turn the features off for good.
That sounds exhausting.
It's rude, it's poor UI, and it's fundamentally bad security engineering because you're deliberately making the system unstable and maximizing the attack surface.
Okay, so we have a technical failure, ignoring user choice, bad design, and aggressive feature pushing. What's the last one? Number five sounds like the worst of all.
It is truly absurd. Stupidity element five is blaming the victim.
Oh, no.
So the analyst who manages multiple accounts did the right thing. They marked these spam invites as spam. The system's response.
Let me guess. It wasn't helpful.
It was hostile. It sent a warning accusing the victim of violating Google Calendar program policies for removing the spam.
You're kidding me. Wait. The platform lets the garbage in, forces it on you, and then threatens you when you try to clean it up.
That's the definition of security theater gone wrong. The warning even implied that violations could lead to account shutdowns.
A threat for cleaning up their mess.
And to top it all off, the warning actually suggested that the victim should contact their guests, you know, the other spammed people, and tell them how to restore the spam from their trash folder.
That is unbelievable.
The analyst's conclusion was blunt. Stop threatening legitimate users and start enforcing security on the actual bad guys.
This isn't some complex, sophisticated hack. It's just a cascade of basic design failures. If they're getting this stuff wrong on a tool everyone uses, what does that say about the rest of the platform?
Well, it raises a really essential question about priorities, doesn't it? The implication is that if basic controls are just ignored in favor of pushing new AI features, then the whole security architecture might be built on sand.
The mistake wasn't just failing to see this coming.
No, it was making a conscious, unprofitable decision to accept a known security risk. And now that risk is fully materialized, and it's gumming up professional communication for everyone.
So the core lesson here, for anyone listening, is that bad actors will abuse any system tied to email if you don't build in controls from day one. It's a failure of resilience in the design itself.
And for you, the key takeaway is that the biggest security risks, and they often don't come from some brilliant hacker. They come from a simple, systematic lack of design consideration and a corporate choice to accept a risk, forcing you to pay the price.
It's just remarkable how obvious these mistakes are. The analyst even says that first-year students could probably spot at least 3 of these 5 failures.
It is a sobering thought. But here's a final, more provocative idea for you to chew on, building on this.
Okay.
Given that we see established companies actively overriding your safety settings with bad UX and intrusive AI, what other critical systems are you using every day? You know, financial software, medical portals.
Places where you assume no means no.
Exactly. Where you assume your explicit no is a permanent setting, but it could be getting silently overridden by the next new feature rollout. Are your preferences actually being respected anywhere?
That really forces you to confront an erosion of trust in all these cloud services. It means we all have to be better digital managers, checking for those re-enabled settings, managing the disruption ourselves.
Because the systems themselves are showing a profound disregard for our choices.
So critical thinking about where your digital autonomy is actually respected, that's now a security tool in itself.
It has to be.
Indeed. Well, we've unpacked this one. Until next time.